pray to be a blessing this morning as we open the Word. Take your Bibles, let's turn to Daniel chapter 3, and let's stand as we read the text. Daniel chapter 3, we spoke about the first half of the chapter a day or so ago, and some amazing things, and we'll touch on a little bit of that. But I want to read and cover the second half of the chapter. Let's pick it up in verse 14. We'll read down through the end of the chapter. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hose, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. The princes, the governors, the captains, the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time together. I ask that you please just continue to move among us. Hide me behind your word, Lord. Let your word stand forth, and let your voice be the one that we hear. Remove the distractions from our minds and our hearts, and do the work in us that only you can do by your Holy Spirit. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to quickly bring a few points to your minds from the last message. This is a familiar story to us, but there's still much to learn. It's still teaching us thousands of years later principles that we need to hear. We talked about the courage to stand against the world's demands when the system is bowing, is demanding that we bow. When the world is telling us to bow to this or to that, we need to have the same response as these young men. No, we will not bow. To say it with conviction and to stand and to say that we bow to God alone. We focused on the question in verse 14. Is it true? Well, you're going to have to answer that question at some point. Is it true that you go to church? Is it true that you believe the Bible? Is it true that you will not support these things that are out there? And I pray for the courage and the backbone to say, yes, it's true. This is who I am. This is what I believe. These three men answer that boldly, and they give us strength in their courage and resolve, and we have to answer the same way, and it's needed now more than ever. Actually, I just got some good news before I came up here. Somebody showed me an article that nobody attended the Dodger thing, and the ones that were there were booing, so that does my heart good. I'm glad some people stood up, and there's still hope, maybe. But we want to make stands, even if it's little stands like that, or stands at your work, or stands in your family. We will not bow to what the world says. We want that courage. I think we all feel that way. We all want to be an example like that. But what is it that keeps us from doing so? What is it that keeps us the silent majority? Because, beloved, I still believe that we are. What keeps us uninvolved, or quiet, or passive? Maybe it's fear of the furnace. Maybe it's the threat of what may happen if you do this or if you do not do this, or what the consequences may be. We're afraid of what may happen, so maybe it keeps us a little quieter than we should be. We say we will not bow, but are we ready to stand in the face of the furnace? That's what we come to this morning in our text. They make a stand against the king and his orders, and they follow through even though they're faced with punishment, even though they're faced with certain death. They don't back down. And by the way, may I say, most often the threat is enough. Most often the threat is enough to keep us quiet. It's enough to scare us into submission or silence. Because, you know what could happen if I do this or if I don't do that? Well, I don't want to lose this, or I don't want to be labeled as this, or I don't want this to happen. So the threat, even though it hasn't happened or we haven't experienced it, is enough to keep us quiet. Most often, the world doesn't really ever have to do what they say they're going to do. They just say they're going to do it, we get scared and be quiet. They don't even have to light the furnace, and we willingly bow. They just point to it and say, look, this is what could happen. And we grow quiet. I wonder what it would be like if we actually had to feel the flames. I don't want to be in that category anymore. I don't want to live my Christian life like that anymore. It's part of the reason we find ourselves in the situation we do. I understand God has a plan and He is working things according to the course of His will. He's got an end goal coming. And I'm looking forward to that end too, by the way. But in the meantime, I think things have gotten so bad and maybe a little bit more messed up than they should be because we have been too quiet. We have bowed under the threats when we should stand boldly and say no. But if we're going to do that, we're going to need strength. We're going to need strength to face the furnace without fear. So if you look at verse 19 is where I want to pick up, and we'll move along this morning. Right about verse 19 is where I start to have second thoughts, if I'm honest. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. He is full of fury. His face is distorted. He's ticked off more than he's ever been, and he hates these three men right now. He is full of fury. Maybe he thought he was going to talk some sense into them. Like, come on, guys. This is enough. Think this through. I get your point. You've made your point. Now let's just get back to reality. Calm down. Think about what you're doing. Think about what this could cost you. You should really reconsider taking this stand. By the way, you know what? How many times I heard that down in my area over the past 2 years about a simple thing about keeping your church doors open? pastors writing blogs, pastors on the internet saying, hey, you know, I know you want to make a stand, you want to make a point, but really reconsider this, and we should really do this. Didn't move them one inch, did it? Didn't move them one inch. Thank God these men stood for the truth and didn't back down. But that changed things. It changed the relationship. And if we're going to take a stand, it's going to change some relationships sometimes. Most relationships are fine. It's all good until you take a stand, until you answer that question truthfully. Until you say, no, I don't believe God supports this, or I believe this is what the Bible says, that could change some things in some of our relationships. When you take a stand, people can tend to get all riled up when you remain faithful to God, because our human nature hates truth. We like to keep ourselves veiled in our own reality, fooling ourselves, thinking the world only works how we think it should. So when the truth of God shows up and shatters that, it doesn't always make us feel good, does it? I remember what I felt like before I was saved. It wasn't always good. I felt guilty. I felt scared. I felt helpless. Because the Spirit, through the Word, had told me, I need a Savior. I can't save myself. I am hopeless. I am lost. I am hellbound. I need somebody to save me. It didn't feel good. But thank God I felt that conviction, because it led me to faith in Jesus. We need to know that we need to be saved from something. It's not just some add-on or some merit badge that we put on our life. No, we need a Savior because we are hopeless without Him. That's what truth does. It shows our inconsistencies. It shows our failings against the holiness and righteousness of God. It shows us how much we need Him. And sometimes that does not bring a good reaction. So all that to say, when we stand for truth, expect it to impact relationships in our lives. It might be all fine when it's about work or about sports or about family. But when it's the truth of God, it might be different. And Nebuchadnezzar is full of fury. The furnace is heated 7 times, it says. The idea is this: I'm going to make them pay. They're going to feel my wrath. They're going to be sorry they ever stood. They're sorry they never bowed down. So 7 times heated, 7 times hotter. I'm going to make an example out of them. You're going to be sorry for making a stand, for not falling in line. Again, expect that. Expect the world to try to silence the truth. That's what it's been doing ever since the Bible was written. Ever since faithful men and women of God has stand to proclaim the truth, there's always been a push to silence it. Don't let it silence you. Even if you face the furnace, don't let it silence you. So now they have to continue their stand. Now put yourself in this place. We read it. You're familiar with it. Do you think about it? You don't just turn the thermostat up on the furnace and it's ready in 10 minutes. They have to stoke the fire and get it hotter. That means they're standing there watching this. That would give them time to think. I wonder what went through their minds. Now remember what they said in verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, which means if we have to face the furnace, we're still not going to bow down. Maybe that went through their minds. Maybe they're thinking something like, okay, God, now would be a good time. See, they're getting the furnace hot. He's really, really mad. Right now would be great. Maybe just like take him out, or like a rainstorm or something. Just put this out. If we could just do all of this and be over with it, would be great. Please deliver us. I know you can deliver us. Are you going to? It's almost ready. The guards are here. Are you going to deliver us, Lord? You're not, are you? You know that thought clicked with them. We're gonna have to go in here. We're going to have to face this. Okay, Lord, I'm scared. I can't do this alone. Give me strength. Give me faith, because here we go. Listen, if they're human like me, I would have been thinking along that lines. Scripture doesn't record it, but I have no doubt they were processing thoughts like that. Okay, here we go. Whatever the thoughts may have been, they didn't turn back, did they? Sometimes that's where we crumble. We see a trial on the horizon, and it's getting closer, and it's closer. Maybe we try to do everything to avoid it. Not these three. Their trust in God was rock solid. And by the way, they did not know the ending. They're living this in real time. We could say, oh, chill, guys. You'll be fine. It's going to be awesome. They didn't know that. All they see is a king who's mad, who wants their heads, as it were, and the furnace is hot, and here comes the guys to throw them in it. And I don't know if the king was silent or not. Maybe he was asking them again and again, like, hey, you sure you want to do this? You really should consider maybe sitting there stewing. Is it ready yet? How long? I want this done. And then it starts, verse 20, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments. He calls his most mighty men. You miss that? Why? Oh, he's had some experience with this God whom they serve. He knows a little bit about how God can interpret dreams, how God can protect people that take a stand for Him. We got chapters 1 and 2 of that. Maybe he's a little bit leery. But he says, bind them. And the command is hasty. He ties them up as they are, in all of their clothing, and all of their trappings of their position, which probably would have added torment if the fire had touched them. Bind them up, throw them in. Now, you don't notice what you don't see these three doing. They don't fight back. They don't break out their AR-15 rifles and say, come get me over my dead body, praise the Lord, and pass the ammunition. No, they go. Now listen, there's a difference between self-defense and religious persecution. There's a time to defend family and self from harm, and there's a time to defend this country against those who would try to harm it. We at Faith Baptist support the military and our police force and our firefighters and all that. We do so proudly, because I think it's an honorable thing. And I will defend my family, but there is a different thing when it comes time to lay our lives down for His cause. That's what this is. So they go. I don't know if there was fear. I don't know if there's a calm anticipation of heaven. I don't know what's going through their minds. But regardless, it happens. Verse 21, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. It happened. It happened. Sometimes we wish it wouldn't, don't we? We wish people would listen to the gospel. We wish people would believe the truth. We wish the world wouldn't retaliate in the way that it does. We wish fiery trials would not come into our lives, but the fact of the matter, beloved, is they do. There are furnaces we have to face. Life is short and full of trouble, Job says. And there are a lot of good times. This is a good time in my life. There's been a lot of these. A lot of wonderful things from my family, my marriage, my kids, the church. Just being out in God's wonderful creation. There's a lot of good times in life, isn't there? But there's bad times too. There's hard times. Whether it's some form of persecution or difficulty because we took a stand, or sometimes life happens, or sometimes the Lord leads us through trials, we face the furnace. We'll find ourselves right in the middle of it. Are we prepared for that? Verse 22, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace was exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I just want to say this really quick. The mighty men lost their lives in the effort to silence and kill the people of God. I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that quite often, the efforts to harm the people of God end in damage to those people who are trying to do it. These men here, whoever they were, lost their lives in process to doing harms to God's people. The world does that to itself over and over. And just simply think about this. I remember, about a decade ago or maybe more, when there was a push to redefine marriage. There was things on California's law books to legalize homosexual marriage and things like that. And there was a push to silence the opposition, shut those Bible thumpers up, let them be quiet, because this is better. Really? I've got boys and girls that can't even tell if they're a boy and girl now. How has that been better? When the world seeks to silence biblical counsel and biblical truth, it doesn't end up better. We are in a worse place. It's like we're living in the twilight zone. Why? A large part of it is because they have silenced the truth of the Bible. It doesn't work out better. The attacks against the truth are... the truth of God are not good for humanity. There's no higher enlightenment. It's a descent into deeper darkness, which is why it's so important we continue to stand. Verse 23. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Notice scripture when you read it. When you come across verses, notice words that stand out. Here's one that stands out to me. They fell down, bound, into the furnace. It's pretty careful to say that, isn't it? Tied up, right into the middle, game over, right? Now there's a white space between 23 and 24. I tell my church all the time, think about those white spaces. What happened in those moments? Did the king sit back, breathe a sigh, and wait for the screams to begin? Now they're going to pay. Now they're going to feel it. Bow to God and not to me. They'll see. Just wait. Any time now. What's going on? Did you close the door? I can't hear. What's going on? I don't know how long it is, but he goes to see. Verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. He rose up in haste and spake, and said to his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. He is astonished. How is this possible? They should be dead. But look, they're free. And they're walking around the fire like nothing is happening, and there's someone else with them in the middle of that fire. Listen, your translations may say something different. There's a reason I stick with King James Version. It says it's the Son of God. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Beloved, I don't believe this is a divine being. I don't believe this is some angel. I believe this is Christ there in the furnace, in the middle of the fire, in the worst possible place with His people. They are fine, they are freed, and they are not alone. I don't know what it was like for them in there. I don't know, again, maybe I overthink things, but I don't know what went through their head as they're being thrown in. Oh, this is going to hurt. Wait, what? What's going on? Where's the ropes? And who is that? Oh, that's who it is. Oh, wow. What did Christ say to him? I don't know. What kind of comfort did he give him? I don't know, but I'm pretty sure There was no other place on the face of the earth that those three would rather be at that time. In the middle of a furnace with Christ. Can you imagine? Actually, yes, you can. Perhaps not physically, but some of you know this concept. You know what it's like to face a trial, one that is scary, one that's daunting, one that you think is going to kill you. And you're filled with fear or uncertainty, and you enter in that trial, perhaps praying that God would let it pass from you, then seeing that it wouldn't, not quite knowing what happened, and there, unlike any other place, you meet Christ face to face. And you're aware of His presence like never before. And you feel His peace and His Holy Spirit and His guiding like never before. And you come to rely on Him in such a complete and perfect way that you can't outside of those trials. There's nothing that stands between you and Him. Beloved, sometimes only trials can bring that. Sometimes we meet God like that only in a furnace. And you know His amazing, awesome power to bring you through anything. Some of you know the joy of being close to Christ like only a furnace can bring. Here, these three men come face to face with Christ. Here today, if you are facing a furnace, you can come face to face, as it were, with Jesus. All the fire did was free them. All the fire did was burn away the bonds. It freed them from what was restraining them and holding them back. And trials can do that. They have a way of putting things into perfect perspective. I hate to bring it up. I wish it'd be done. I shouldn't say anything. But just take the past couple years. Light affliction. We thought it was so bad when we were in it. I look back now and come on, man. A light affliction that we faced these past months. Have you not come to cherish some things through that? And listen, it's not like a burning fiery furnace, but we went through some trials. We learned some things. Family's important. Church services are important. We have an amazing blessing to come and freely do what we're doing here or every Sunday and every Wednesday. Things that we took for granted before now are very precious. And if this comes around again, I ain't letting those things go. But it took a trial to show us, didn't it? Hard times are when we see clearest, when our faith becomes more than just lip service, because it's what we cling to. When we let other things go, things that are in the way between us and God can get removed in those times. Some people have lost jobs. Some people have lost financial security or relationships or physical health. There's different trials that we go through. Sometimes that has to happen to show us what is important. Even good things like employment or financial security, God-given things, can hold us back. They can become hindrances to us. When they're out of place, when they're out of context, and we place them before God, they become things that we can bow down to. And sometimes we need the perspective to clear it all away. Sometimes God does what is best for us, and we don't understand it. This was the best thing that could happen for them. And they didn't get it until they were there. And I don't know if it's me, but I probably wouldn't have been in a hurry to come out if I'm standing there talking to Jesus. So let's be careful that we don't try to run out and tie ourselves up again, but we appreciate and understand God's presence with us, because we're going to face trials, and those trials Though they may be terrible, though they may be scary, those trials can bring us closer to God. You and I need to know we are not alone. God made a promise in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, which means it's a biblical promise, and it's pretty important when He says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that? Or is He only here in church service or some special thing? But I believe, beloved, it's all times in my life. The good times and the bad times. God is with me on the mountains, and God is with me through the valley of the shadow of death. You are not alone. We are not forsaken in those times. We're not left up to our own power. He is with us, giving us comfort, giving us deliverance, and guiding through. Just open your eyes. If it was me, if I hit the floor of the furnace, I'd probably be curled up in a ball with my eyes closed, waiting to die. I'm a pastor. I have to act strong sometimes. But sometimes I can be a baby. Things come along and it's like I'm drowning in knee deep water, and all God has to do is tap me on the shoulder and say, stand up. But if you open your eyes in the trial and you look around, you'll see God's with you. He's there. These three men had that confidence and their faith became sight, as we were talking about. Sometimes we get little glimpses of that, don't we? Do you have the same hope, the same strength? Let me just move to close with a couple thoughts. What makes somebody do this? What makes somebody bold enough to stand, to stay quiet as the furnace approaches, to not fight back? Is it some special outpouring of grace at that time? Well, probably. Sure. Is it some rock-solid faith mixed with a little defiance and fire within the person's spirit? Sure. I think that's fine too. But at the down deep at the root and at the core, what is it that's going to give you and me fearless faith? I think it's a right perspective, a right hold on eternity. Do you have that today? Beloved, for most Christians, this is the party, and heaven's boring. They think something about clouds and harps and fat kids with wings, and that is their view of heaven. And so they cling to what's here more and want and desire what's here more. We like it better here more sometimes. No wonder you won't face the furnace. We have to get a hold on heaven. We have an eternal home with Christ forever, with blessings we cannot even comprehend. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, what He has laid up for us. We can't barely understand it. And as John writes in Revelation, it's like he's trying his best to... It looks like this, but it's so much more. It's going to be like this, but it's so much better. That is a reality for you if you know Christ as Savior. If you are following Him faithfully, there are things that wait for you that you cannot understand. You have a hold on that, because there is so much distraction, so much draw, as if this is the real deal. That so many don't want to leave and do everything that they can to stay. We are not in the land of the living on the way to the land of the dead. We are in the land of the dying going to the land of the living. We are on the wrong side of heaven right now. And someday we'll be on the right side. And we're looking forward to that, longing for that. When we are with Him and all our loved ones in the Lord in perfect peace and joy forever. It is better. Paul says this, Philippians chapter 1, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. I want Christ lifted up by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I don't know, for I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful to you. Do you see? Do you understand what he's saying? To die for me is gain. It's better for me. That thought is so foreign to American Christianity right now, it sounds like another language. Dying is the worst thing that could happen, is it really? Or have you stepped back and considered all that waits? Life is good, and God is good, and God has poured some amazing blessings down here. Enjoy that. Live it. Live it for Him, but understand the best is yet to come. For me, to die is gain. What can the world do to somebody like that? Nothing. If we've been saved, if we trusted in Him, that is your hope. If you don't have Jesus as Savior, then none of that is yours. That's why the gospel is so important. That's why we need to preach it every time we stand behind the pulpit. Maybe somebody needs to hear it today. Repent. Turn to Jesus and be saved. And you can have this same hope. You can have heaven forever and Jesus forever. Without that, this is as good as it's ever going to get. But because that is true, and if you have trusted Christ and you're following Him, beloved, we are unbeatable. These three men were unbeatable. They got delivered amazingly. But if they had burned up to a crisp, they still win. Because they're with Him. Christ is with us in our trials, and someday we'll be with Him. We need, the world needs, Baptists who believe that. Christians who are taken by that kind of thinking. You can do us no hurt. Even if we die, we win. In fact, look and notice, let's close in verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. Oh, he's changed his tone now, hasn't he? Well, should have learned the first couple times, you don't mess around with these people. They serve the Most High God. Come forth and come hither. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire. And notice who sees. It's not just the king who's there. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men. Listen, you don't know what your witness can impact. You don't know who's watching. We ought to be bold enough to take a stand when it's quiet and it's our household, or a stand when we're gathered as a church, or a stand no matter who may be watching. Because we can impact their lives. In fact, this is part of what I believe leads Nebuchadnezzar to the Lord in just a few chapters. You can differ on that, but something impacted his heart. Part of it was these three men standing the way that they did. They're gathered together and they saw the fire had no power on their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed. They didn't even smell like fire. You've been around a campfire. That stuff sticks around for days. Months even. If you go in the, we go in the trailer, I got a jacket that I wear usually when I'm chopping wood and burning the fire. You open that, poof. Yep, there it is. They don't smell a fire at all. God delivers in amazing ways. That's how He works. That's His ability. You look back in your own life and you'll see it, don't you? How many times have you come through whole and untouched when you thought you'd be destroyed? How many times and how many things has God brought you through that you thought would destroy you, yet here you are whole serving Him? Right. Beloved, if you're in a trial, that trial will end. It will end. Time and time we read in the Bible, it came to pass. If you find yourself in the middle of a furnace, you will walk out. The fire will not consume you. It just may free you. You may not see that right now. I know sometimes it's hard to see. We're in the middle of things, but trust God, trust Him, because He is with you. Well, you might ask, that sounds all well and good, but what about those who faced a trial and lost their life? What about those who suffered and died? Well, yes, there might be pain for a time here, but those who suffered, those who even lost their lives, they walked into glory untouched and whole. And through that fire, Christ was with them. You see, for the child of God, God is just as good when He doesn't heal as when He does. You believe that? God is just as good when He doesn't heal as when He does. He's just as loving when He doesn't provide all that we think He should as when He does provide all that. He's just as gracious when He says no as He is when He says yes. Why? Because ultimately, for eternity, He gives us everything. And in these times of fire, God is glorified in us if we stay with Him. We're reading of the witness of these three men thousands of years later. They impact our lives, as you can impact the lives of those around you by your witness, by your stand, and how you face the furnace of the trial. Verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar speaks. It says, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent His angel, delivers His servants that trusted in Him, and changed the king's word, yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any other god except their own God." He makes a decree that every people, nation, language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other god that can deliver after this sort. I pray my witness can impact somebody like that. How I stand for the truth, how I face the furnace of the trials in my life. That I trust Him above all else. Is that what our friends and our family know us for? Trusting God? Have they seen His deliverance in our lives? That we would give everything in our service to Him? If I am honest, I've got a lot of growing to do to get to that point. But that's why we have examples here, right? Don't let Daniel 3 be a Sunday school story to you. Let it be an example and give you strength. Yes, here in 2023, we can face the furnaces without fear. We can take a stand boldly, knowing that whatever may happen, God is with us. And you are not alone in what you are facing, but Christ is there with us. Thank you for your time. I appreciate the opportunity. May the Lord's blessings be on you.